Hello, IPC guys. I am so glad to virtually join you today. And hopefully, I could join you again physically some other time. I hope and pray that your family and you yourselves are all doing well and are unaffected by the pandemic. I know that you have a very unique form of lockdown that has happened to you guys there in Melbourne. I just want to say thank you for the opportunity that you've given me to preach the Word of God to you today. Thank you so much, Pastor Agus. Thank you so much, Pastor Ruth, for inviting me. I just want you all to know that you have pastors who are some of the most, I would say, sincere and able leaders that I do know of. Every time I think of Psalm 78, where it was explained there that David led the people with integrity of heart and with skillful hands, he led the Israelites. In that part of the world, I couldn't think of anyone else other than your pastors. So you are very much blessed to have pastors who are concerned about you, especially during these uncertain times. Once again, Pastor Agus, Pastor Ruth, thank you so much for having me. I'd like to encourage you, why don't you go ahead and thank them as well in the chat box and even in the comment section below. I'll give you some few seconds to do that. Go ahead and thank them right now. All right, now Christmas is about to come a few days from now. New Year is fast approaching as well, and many of us would be trying to revisit our purpose, our mission. We would start asking ourselves once again, why am I here? How come I did not get sick? Why am I still alive? And how should my life count at this moment? And as I think about what to preach to your congregation today, I was led to that very particular passage that would speak to all of us, regardless of where we are spiritually, regardless of where we are in light of the global circumstances we're in. This is something that would speak to you because it speaks to the very core of our being. And this is about our purpose. And when we talk about the issue of purpose, we talk about the issue of mission as well. And I would like to draw from Matthew chapter 28 today, one of the finest words I would say that Jesus has given his disciples. In Matthew chapter 28 from the ESV version, verse 16 to 20, I'd like to read. And it says here, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountains to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" I would just like us to take this time to pray. Wherever you're watching from, however you're tuning into this, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the grace that you've given each one of us. Thank you for our lives. Thank you for protecting us. Thank you for always being with us. Lord, thank you because there is a reason, there is a purpose, there is a mission, God, why we are still on earth today. And whether we've known that from the beginning or not, I pray, God, that even in the next few weeks to come, we would be able to live this out, Lord, to be all in on the purposes that you have for us to go out there and make disciples of all nations. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So at this point of the story, Jesus already died. He rose again 3 days later, and he showed himself once again to his disciples. Now, interestingly enough, the people whom he showed himself to in this story are his disciples. So what's interesting is that you would see there that when it comes to his disciples, it says there that some of them, when they saw Jesus, they worshiped him because what he said is true. After he rose and died, after he died and rose, he already in a sense have proven himself to be the Messiah that everyone was waiting for. So some of the disciples, it says there, they worshiped him. But interestingly enough, there were other disciples who doubted. Now, it doesn't really matter. Jesus had one agenda, had one message to his disciples. Whether they were in a place where they're still doubting, is he real? Is this what it's all about? I mean, did he really say this? And all of those doubts that might cloud their hearts still, or whether they're fully all in the mission and say, oh yes, Jesus, you are who you said you are, and therefore I'm going to give my entire life to you. Wherever they are, in those spectrum of faith, I would say, Jesus had one message for them, and he said this, all authority has been given to me. That's what Jesus said. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And this he's going to charge. And this is what he charged his followers to do. Now, wait a second right there. Imagine this with me. What if all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to you? What would you do? Now, let's contextualize that a little bit. With all the followers that you have on social media, what would you charge them to do if you had all authority in heaven and on earth? What will you tell them to do or to engage themselves in? Now, the message was clear for Jesus. What he said was, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And therefore, regardless of where you are in your faith, you're still kind of like a bit doubting, a bit shaky, or you're like on the end where you're fully devoted in worshiping him, regardless of the circumstances as well, this could be the best time to do this or the worst possible time to do this. He had one message to them, and it's this. He had one mission for them, and it's to go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. This is that sense of mission that gives hope to each and every one of us, particularly in a time just like this one. Now more than ever, I would say, we need to make disciples. Now more than ever, whether lockdown is still tight or whether it's starting to loosen up a bit, it's now time to make disciples. There's no particular better, I would say, timing to do this than now. You know, if you look at the story, particularly from the passage of scripture that we read, what we can say here is that Jesus, after proving that he is God in his divinity, said this to his disciples. I want you that whatever it is that I have imparted to you, regardless of your faith journey, regardless of your circumstance right now, I would want you to equally do the same. And right from this story, I would want us to take a look at some three very important thoughts as we go out there and make disciples. The first thing is this. Making disciples is all about preaching Jesus Christ. Making disciples is about preaching Jesus. We're not going to preach ourselves. We're not going to preach about the brand of our church. And what I love about this is that there are times when we feel like we have to be perfect so that we would make disciples out there. And as seen by the statement of Jesus, some were doubting, some were worshiping, and yet they're all qualified. You go and make disciples out there. As long as your lives are being changed by Jesus Christ daily, we can make disciples. We're not yet perfect. That's what I love about it. You are qualified to preach Jesus Christ, whether you feel like you're in a perfect state right now, perfect condition, perfect faith, or you're still in a place where you're still thinking about so many things. You know, you are supposed to make disciples. And again, what I love about this is that we don't have to be perfect. Why? Because we're preaching about a perfect person, and that is Jesus Christ. Making disciples is about preaching Jesus Christ. He is the absolute authority. The authority was given to him, and he said it there that I want you to teach everything that I have commanded to you to other people. Now again, I said this early and I'll repeat it again, that preaching Jesus today is the greatest source of hope for people. You don't have to wait. You can preach the gospel. Why? Because now, more than ever, the world needs hope. When is the vaccine going to come out? When is this pandemic going to end? I'm not sure how next year is going to look like. I'm not even sure how my next few weeks is going to look like. And yet, you can have hope in the midst of all of this. Why? Because if you understand the gospel and what Jesus Christ has done for you, you can have hope even in these trying times. I like what Sean Gladding said in his book, The Story of God and the Story of Us. He mentions this, that from the very beginning of our story, God extends grace to us. When what we do deserves death, God insists on life for us. That's what he said. And I completely agree with that. Why? Because when we have chosen to sin, when we have, because of our choice, have been in a very hopeless situation, we were dead to our sins, and yet the goodness of God, the love of God, exhibited and manifested through the work of Jesus on the cross, said, I insist on life for this person. I insist on life for you. Now that is the greatest source of hope. That's why now more than ever, it's not the time to back out from preaching Jesus Christ. Making disciples is all about preaching who Jesus Christ is. The gospel proves that God insists on life for us to have life amidst of death. And that is the greatest source of hope for each and every one of us. The second thing I've learned here is that as I look at through the scripture, making disciples is always current. Making disciples is always current. It's not based on age. Every person who's a believer and a follower of Jesus, that's a prerequisite, can make disciples regardless of their age. This is not more current during the time of Jesus than it is during our time now. What I love about Jesus is that he says here, he said, go and make disciples of all nations, and therefore, and truly I will be with you to the very end of the age. Jesus did not give a time limitation as to when this making disciples thing should end. He didn't come to his disciples or appeared to his disciples and said, okay, you will make disciples for the next 50 years, and then after that, you know, let everything stop. No, he said, up to the end of the age. That's why making disciples is always current. Whether we are in a pandemic or during the time that we weren't in a pandemic, it's still current. The methodologies might change a little bit. We might be a little bit more online now. Before, there were no printed materials, but now there are printed materials. But the same heart and passion goes into making disciples. Why? Because it's always current. Whether you have the optimum technology requirements in your own location or you don't have that, we can still make disciples because it's always current. What I love about being here in the University Belt of Manila in the Philippines is that this is a place that would always speak to me personally about being current. Meaning to say, we are full. There's full of, this place is full of young people who would come here in the Philippines in the University Belt to study so that they could build their dreams towards the future. That's why our goal, that's why I love doing campus ministry, is so that we could come together and be there with them as they go and explore the world. And part of what we would want them to have as early as now is that they will know who Jesus is and in turn, make disciples as well. Why? Because making disciples is always current. You may consider yourself as someone who has been doing this for quite some time now. You've participated in making disciples for the last years or maybe even decades. Well done. I am so proud of you and thank you for doing that. Or whether you feel like I'm very new into this thing. I don't even know where to begin. I'm not even sure who to reach out to. Well, I would like to say this. You are in the right place. You are in the right timing. Why? Because making disciples is always current. It will work without pandemic. It will work with pandemic. It will work with technology, and it will work with a lack of technology. Okay? I would want us to put that in our hearts, in our souls today. The third and the final one is this. Making disciples is not done alone. Making disciples is not done alone. What I love about this part of scripture was that the very person who gave a command to do that to his followers is going to be with them. through the end of eternity. That's a great promise. That the very person who asks you, okay, why don't you go ahead and be with me as I do this? It's like an invitation. I would like you to do this, but I am going to be with you. The Holy Spirit is going to be there with us as well. Meaning to say, if we are to make disciples, we are not going to do this just by ourselves. In fact, it merits to note that for you to consider yourself as someone who's making disciples, there's supposed to be another person other than yourself, right? Or it's just you trying to convince yourself of truths and facts about Scripture. Now, that's very important. But more than that, now that you're convinced about the truth and the facts of Scripture, go ahead and pass that on to someone else. That is how you make disciples. That is what the mission is all about. That the grace of God that we have experienced should never just be confined to us. It's supposed to be transferred out there. It's supposed to be freely given as you have freely received it. That's why part of making disciples is to be with someone else. But more than being with another person, the ultimate person who charged us to do this will be with us to the very end of the age as well. I remember I was praying throughout this pandemic. I was asking God, God, there are so many limitations on what's happening now, but I want to continue on making disciples. So as I was praying to God, I got reminded of someone whom I've started to do discipleship with about 3 to 4 years ago, but for some apparent reason, we got disconnected. And right at this season, when the pandemic was happening, he got in touch with me again, and I got in touch with him. So I told him, why don't we go ahead and continue on this discipleship journey? And gladly, he was trying to inform me that he's now engaged, but the person he's engaged with is not yet a believer, and then maybe we could help together with my wife to disciple them together. And that's what we did. That's what my wife and I did. Online, at first, we continued on that discipleship journey with them, meeting them every week. And as a result of that, the fiancé, the lady, gave herself to Jesus Christ. Gave herself and made Jesus her Lord and her Savior. And about a few weeks ago, I had the privilege of being able to officiate their wedding. It was the first time I've seen the bride in person. And yet it felt like we have known each other for quite some time now because of the discipleship journey that has been done online. And now we're continually getting in touch with one another, continuing on with this discipleship journey. Discipleship is not meant to be done alone. If you feel like you're one of these people who would say, I'm not sure about discipleship if it's for me, my recommendation for you is why don't you go ahead and drag someone to be with you? That's exactly what my friend did. And that's exactly what I've done with my wife. I dragged her along with me and said, let's go ahead and make disciples of these people. Let's go ahead and point them to Jesus Christ, our ultimate Savior. You know, there are a lot of things that could be done, especially when we are with other people. That's why the best part of this mission and of this purpose that we're in is that it wasn't meant for us to live this out by ourselves. There needs to be another person. And as I end, I remember this particular story because it was so memorable for me. About last year, my entire family had a vacation in the States. And my son and I were talking about some very important aspects of our relationship. He's now 15, so we could engage in that kind of conversation. And he was telling me about some of his fears in life. And I was equally telling him about my fears in life to be able to relate to him. And then what we said to each other is that, you know what's important, Dad, is that we are together. And I appreciate that thought, that we're here together to be able to overcome our fears together. So it was happening during the time that we were going to San Diego in an amusement park called SeaWorld. And right within the entrance of SeaWorld, while we were coming in, we saw this roller coaster ride called the Electric Eel. Now, my son is an avid thrill rider. But the moment he saw that, he said, I'm not going to ride that thing. And then in my mind, of course, I would say the same thing. I'm not going to ride that thing either. Now, later on, my son changed his mind and said, Dad, maybe one of the ways on how we can overcome our fear is to ride that electric eel, he said. Didn't you promise that you're going to be with me as I overcome my fear? I felt manipulated at that moment, but there's, I'd say, nothing else that I could do but to agree. And trying to muster all the strength and the courage that I have, we lined up to that ride, to that ride. And my son politely asked the operator while we were very nervous, lining up, waiting for our turn. And he asked the operator, kindly, sir, has anyone died from riding this roller coaster ride? And then the operator said, no, nobody has died from this one yet. Not yet, as if somebody's going to, it's going to happen to someone anytime soon. But what he said was, there was probably around 50 people who passed out at the end of the ride. They were totally immobilized because of how the, I don't know, the experience of being there. So to cut the long story short, we mustered our strength together. This is one thing I realized is that I'm not going to do it if my son isn't there. And probably he's not going to do it if I'm not there. So we had a very thrilling, 90 seconds of our lives doing this ride. And at the end of it, I was so tired. I looked at my heart rate and it elevated up. But he had so much fun. And he said, Dad, I was able to overcome my fear. And the next thing he asked me was that, can we do this again? Can we ride it again? I'm like, nope. That's the end of the line for me. And guess what? Because I did it once with him, he was able to do it two more times just by himself. In fact, the park was about to close and he still wanted to make a fourth attempt, a fourth ride. You know, this is what making disciples really is all about. We would want the people. We would want a common purpose, a common mission, which is to honor and glorify Jesus. And as we get to experience Jesus more, we'd be able to do this and give this out to other people as well. But more than that, I want us to be able to do this together because we kind of like put courage with each other. The things that I feel like I can't do, I can do more if I'm with you. I could do more when I'm with my friends or with the people that I know of. And as a result of that, the people that we get to disciple, they overcome something. They overcome temptation. They overcome sin by the grace of Jesus Christ. And my prayer is just like the adventure of my son, they would take things further. I could only go up to this thing, up to here. I could only go one ride, but they could go three. They're going to go out there and make even more disciples. My hope and my prayer is that our eyes will be fixed on Jesus at this time. But more than anything else, as our eyes are fixed on Him, we would constantly hear this mandate that would call us to go and make disciples. Let me just take this time to pray for you today. Lord, thank you for my brothers and sisters in that part of the world. I speak blessing and grace upon them today. Thank you, Jesus, for being with them. Thank you for being with us. Thank you, God, because you have never left us, Lord. Lord, for a lot of us who are looking for a sense of mission, for a sense of purpose, I pray, God, that you would show us, Lord, what you've called us to do. And Lord, rooting from that would be coming out from that, Lord. Or if we trace down deep inside, Lord, we would find your very words that would tell us to go and make disciples. Lord, thank you because your grace have been sufficient in our time of weakness. Lord, I thank you because you're the one who's going to make this happen for us. Lord, today we commit our lives to you. We honor you. And I pray, God, that as we go out there and make disciples, we know that the Holy Spirit is going to be with us. And more than anything else, you will be with us, which is our greatest reward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys, thank you so much for having me preach again to you today. I'll see you again next time.